3 hours before dawn on Thanksgiving Day 2005, I startled from a peaceful sleep. I was sweating, murmuring the words of my late father Roddy. I had been dreaming about his war journals, neatly written words jotted in pencil in his own cursive hand. "No one can realize the horrors the infantry soldier goes through," he wrote. "You get scared, and I mean scared. And don't let anyone tell you that he wasn't scared." Dad never seemed scared of anything. When he was alive, he was always fearless, with the kind of quiet Christian faith that made him seem invincible. He always marched to the beat of faith, hope, and love, but never fear. Not once in all the years I knew him. Lying awake, staring up at the dark ceiling, my mind flooded with confusion, and I whispered Dad's favorite Bible passage, Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What could have happened over there to make Dad, armed with such strength, so afraid? For Dad, over there meant Europe during the Second World War. It meant Ziegenhain, an obscure town in the Rhineland Palatinate of Germany, where he spent the final months of Nazi tyranny. He hit the beaches of France several months after the initial D-Day landings, slogged through freezing rain and mud in the fall of 1944, and saw horrific combat in the icy forests of Belgium that final brutal winter of the war, fighting along the supposedly impenetrable Nazi Siegfried line in the Battle of the Bulge. I knew little about Dad's service during World War II. Like a lot of members of the Greatest Generation, he never discussed the grisly details. I had only read about them in history books. Dark skies exploding with relentless mortar fire, officers and infantrymen already frozen in the winter cold, stunned by the ferocity of the barrage, a thunderous assault of 88mm artillery fire, followed by wave after wave of panzers and Nazi troops. Now, wide awake, I sat on the edge of my bed for a few moments. It was a chilly morning in Merrillville, Tennessee. The sun hadn't come up yet. I checked my cell phone. The temperature was slightly below freezing. I looked at my wife, Regina, who was still asleep beside me, just as she had slept every night for the past 28 years. I pulled the comforter over her shoulder to protect her against the chill. I rose from bed, stunned and confused by Dad's wartime confession, and stole away to the bathroom, where the sense of regret overwhelmed me. I splashed ice-cold water on my face to calm myself. Staring into the mirror, I saw a reflection of brokenness, the sound of my father's voice still ringing in my head. Why didn't I ask Dad more questions before he died? Why did I let him take it to his grave? I had been thinking about my father's wartime experiences the previous evening. Just after dinner, as I had helped Regina clear the table, our daughter Lauren had arrived home from Merrillville College, where she and her identical twin Kristen were earning their degrees in education. Lauren was excited to tell us about a new history project, to interview a family member about a notable experience in their life, ideally an oral history of that person. "Dad, when I told my group that Papaw was a POW in World War II, they said he was definitely the story, even though he's no longer alive. What do you think?" I told Lauren I thought it was a great idea. "If I were you, I'd begin with his wartime diaries. Nana has them tucked away somewhere in her house." "Oh, that's amazing," Lauren said. "Have you seen them?" "I have. I've read them several times," I said. "You know, it's hard to imagine, but Dad never talked about them." "Not even to Nana?" "No, not even to Nana."